Good afternoon. My name is Maria, and I'll be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the third quarter 2015 financial results conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you'd like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you, Mr. John McCann. You may begin your conference.
Thanks, Maria. Welcome to the third quarter 2015 Mace earnings conference call. I want to first turn it over to Carl Smith, who will read a forward-looking statement, but also I would ask you if you could go to corp.mace.com, investor relations, transcripts, and presentations. There's a PowerPoint presentation that we will go through at the conclusion of Carl's remarks. So, Carl?
All right, now I'll read the forward-looking statement. Certain statements and information during this conference call will constitute forward-looking statements and are based on management expectations and information currently in the possession of management. When used during our conference call, the words or phrases will likely result, are expected to, will continue, is anticipated, estimate, projected, and intended to, or similar expressions are intended to identify forward-looking statements. Such statements are subjected to certain risks, known and unknown, and uncertainties including but not limited to economic conditions, limit of capital resources, and the ability of management to effectively manage the business and integrate acquired businesses. Such factors could materially adversely affect Mace's financial performance. It could cause Mace's actual results for the future periods to differ materially from any opinions or statements expressed during this call. I will now comment on our third quarter financial results. After I'm finished, I'll turn the call back over to John McCann, our CEO, for our presentation. We will then open the lines for questions. Third quarter net sales were $1,985,000 compared to $2,203,000 for the third quarter of last year, a decrease of $218,000 or 9.9%. This decrease was mainly attributed to timing of shipments in our consumer distribution channel and a decrease in net sales in our building security channel, which is the channel our surveillance products are sold through. Net sales in consumer and sporting goods for the quarter totaled $1,435,000 compared to $1,593,000, a decrease of $158,000 or 9.9%. This decrease was mainly attributed to timing of sales to a major customer in the consumer channel. Net sales to this customer were down $156,000 or 41% for the quarter. Shipments to this customer were strong in October and are up 40% year-to-date. Net sales in our consumer and sporting channels are up 21% year-to-date versus last year. Net sales in building security totaled $264,000 compared to $348,000 in 2014, a decrease of $84,000 or 24%. The decrease in building security is due to a $38,000 one-time sale in 2014 to a Haiti customer and a tougher market this year. I believe John will make some points on this during his presentation. Web channel net sales totaled $41,000 compared to $48,000, a decrease of $7,000. For the upcoming holiday season, we have some cyber specials and other promotions planned to increase sales in the fourth quarter. And I believe John will touch on that as well. International sales channel for the quarter totaled $139,000 compared to $101,000, a decrease of $28,000 or 32.4%. This, again, can be attributed to timing of sales to particular customers. Offsetting these declines for the quarter were increases in sales through our tactical and OEM channels. Net sales through our tactical channel were $139,000 compared to $100,000, an increase of $39,000 or 39%. Net sales of parts and components through our OEM channel were $48,000 compared to $29,000, an increase of $19,000 or 66%. Moving on to gross profit. Gross profits for the third quarter 2015 totaled $730,000 with a 36.8% gross margin compared to $887,000 and a 40.3% gross margin for 2014, a decrease of $157,000 or 17.7% and a decrease of 3.5 percentage points in margin. The decrease in gross profit dollars can be attributed to the $218,000 decrease in sales and the decline in gross profit margin for the quarter. The margin decrease for the quarter is mainly attributed to 2.7% margin decline in surveillance product sales compared to last year and an unfavorable mix attributed to the $48,000 in OEM sales, which have a 12% gross margin. Selling, general, and administrative expenses for the third quarter ended September 30th, 2015, were $1,056,000 compared to $1,095,000 in 2014, a $39,000 or 3.6% reduction. This continues our trend to reduce SG&A expenses. Year-to-date, SG&A is down $432,000 or 11.7%. The decrease in SG&A is mainly attributed to a continuation of the savings recognized in the first two quarters, which included lower salaries derived from headcount reductions and salary realignments, reduced audit fees, lower business insurance expenses, and reduced legal and IT consulting fees. Offsetting the year-to-date savings in these areas was an increase of $148,000 in advertising, marketing, and trade show expenditures to drive sales. Interest expense for the quarter ended September 30, 2015, was $13,000 compared to $58,000 in 2014, a decrease of $45,000 or 77.6%. Interest for the quarter is related to the put note, and prior year interest expense was interest on the $1.4 million note, which was paid off in January of 2015. Details on both the put note, put option, and note payoff are included in the notes to the quarterly financial statements. Interest income for the quarter ended September 30th, 2015, was $44,000 compared to $64,000 in interest income in 2014. Interest income for the quarter included interest on two notes from the sale of the Central Station in December of 2013 to Security Partners and interest on investments. As a result, net loss before discontinued operations for the quarter ended September 30, 2015 was $335,000 compared to a net loss of $325,000, a $10,000 increased loss over third quarter 2014. The year-to-date loss from continued operations was $597,000 compared to a loss of $1,719,000 in 2014. A $1,122,000 or 65% improvement over last year. EBITDA for the quarter was a $329,000 loss compared to a $291,000 loss, a $38,000 or 13% decrease for the quarter. However, year-to-date EBITDA was a negative $585,000, a $1,010,000 improvement over last year. At this time, I'll make a few comments on our balance sheet at September 30th. The company's net book value was $8.4 million compared to $10.3 million at December 31st, 2014. The $1.9 million decline is mainly attributed to using $2.3 million in cash to pay off the $1.4 million Merlin loan. Mace had $9.4 million in total assets, including $2.3 million of cash and short-term investments at September 30th, 2015. Net inventory totaled $2,567,000 compared to $1,783,000 at December 31st, an increase of $784,000 or 44% from year end. This increase can be attributed to several factors. Surveillance inventory is up $182,000. In order to correct inventory shortage at year end, inventory was ordered in the fourth quarter of 2014. And so far this year, sales are down significantly from prior year and budget, and you know, we're continually working down that surveillance inventory. Night Beams, which is a new product line for Mace, that inventory accounts for $102,000 of the inventory increase. We also have a new line of products in the pepper spray business that we refer to as the Exquisite line. So new items and stock replenishments there accounted for $228,000 of the increase. Timing of bulk non-surveillance inventory purchases from China accounted for about $54,000 of the increase, and the balance of approximately $200,000 can be attributed to an inventory build to support October sales. We had positive working capital of approximately $6.5 million and a current ratio of 7.6. The company had no debt as of September 30th, 2015. Total stockholders' equity was $8.4 million at September 30th compared to $10.3 at 12/31/14. The $1.9 million decrease is mainly attributed to the $1.4 million charge to Payton Capital on the early extinguishment of debt and the $577,000 loss for the year. NOLs at September 30th were approximately $58 million, with $1.1 million expiring in 2018 and the last NOL expiring in the year 2034. Okay, at this point, I'd like to thank you for joining us, and now I will turn the call over to our President and CEO, John McCann.
Thanks, Carl. So one last time, if you go to corp.mace.com, Investor Relations, Transcripts and Presentations 2015, I will make some brief comments, and then we'll turn it over for questions and answers. As Carl mentioned in his presentation, some of the timing issues that we experienced in the third quarter shipments, I apologize, have been rectified. So if you fast forward to today, and if I just took our current flash through November 23rd, we total company is experiencing about a 16% increase. If I back out building security in that number, it's 16%. With building security, it's about a 10% increase. So some of the timing of some of the major orders that we had anticipated that went out in early October versus September were very good. The other part that I'd note on the inventory side that Carl mentioned, that our inventory has been reduced about $210,000 in that time period, with a lot of the new products that we had anticipated bringing in, being able to ship out, and also holding the line on some of the other inventories to make sure that we had the right amount and not too much. There's a couple things that I'll just comment on really quickly is when we look at the metrics of the company of what we want to achieve and what we want to do, and we look at five major areas, and sales being one, and looking at the sales increases in the key areas, looking at strategic opportunities in some areas that are not key, we're achieving that. Looking at distribution in the quarter, if you refer to slide number 4 in your presentation, you'll see there was over 20 new accounts that we've opened up in the quarter, and they're across the lines of all the strategic segments that we want to compete in, from sporting goods to consumer to tactical to international. It's you could call it over 20 accounts, but 20 key accounts that we've opened up in those channels. When you look at the gross margins, even though the third quarter wasn't where we want it to be on a year-to-date basis, we're up versus prior years, which is good because then we're taking advantage of the efficiencies we've built and also trying to grow our business. Last two ones that we look at very closely is SG&A to make sure that we're efficient as we can be, but then investing in either new products, advertising, PR, and IR, as we've noted. We've hired an IR firm in the quarter. They've helped us with this preparation. We're going through some key messaging and key meetings with them in order to present the company the way we all want to present it in the near-term future. And the last thing is cutting that operating loss. As you can see, we've had a tremendous efforts in cutting that losses year to year to year, and this year especially, as we move towards profitability. A couple of the other slides that I just want to point out in the presentation is slide 5. One of the new products that we brought in are our Night Beams products. We have the vest at the Q, which is where the Cleveland Cavaliers and some other organizations play. They're wearing those vests. It's been a savings. We're working with them and partnering with them on more. And then one of our first police departments, the Tupelo, Mississippi Police Department, is also wearing our vest. On slide 6, you can see cross-section of new tactical customers is kind of as a prelude. If a department might not necessarily buy directly from us, they will sometimes buy through a local distributor. So Century Uniform and Equipment, for example, will be the processor or the buyer and the reseller of our products to XYZ Police Department. So for us, this is great because it gets us into that channel, it gets us going in that segment, And then as we launch our non-lethal products into that segment, we'll have a nice foothold. One of the big things in the quarter is on slide 7, and I just want to spend a couple of minutes explaining this. On slide 7, we've been working on this deal for quite a while, and this will get Mace into the home security segment at a minimal cost. This will be a straight royalty deal for Mace, but basically if you look at slide 7, our partner, Court Select Security, will produce all the things that you see, the wraps on the cars, the signage on the house, the shirts, and the information, along with a certified home security package that would be monitored that will be sold under the Mace brand name. We selected Court because of A, their reach. They have offices throughout the United States. They have central stations in California, Las Vegas, Houston, Texas, and also in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. We'll be working with each one of these offices. They will be really running the show. They know what they're doing. They have a call center in Utah that they will utilize to actually call homes, and they will also be doing all the contract work. We, as Mace, will, we've produced a style guide for them. We've produced a brand guide. We will work with them on the products to make sure that they're fitting with what we're trying to do, low returns, high quality, high customer satisfaction. And then also, we will be there for their support as they need it on a marketing and sales side. But as you can see, this is a great step for us because it allows us to expand the Mace brand name into a segment that is very competitive, very sophisticated in its own way, and you also have to have the right sales force out there. With Select Security and Court, we'll have a large sales force that will be selling this, plus they have all the support they needed because they also run their own central stations. So there's a big win in the quarter, and we're looking at, you know, with the help of our false communications team to make sure that as this becomes successful, it'll roll out. I will precursor it into, we don't expect this to be generating revenues, meaningful revenues to Mace for 18 to 24 months. There is some minimums in the contract, which we feel they will hit. The minimums are pretty easy for the first couple years, and then we work on a formula of success on later years with the plan. But their team is excited and our team is excited, and I think this will be a big change in the home security market, which is dominated by ADT, but the next biggest player in that same market is the local guys selling products. 46% of home security sold is sold by a local company. This gives a local company a brand name that they can go after some of the bigger guys. So it's a big win for the company. Also on slide 9, as we talked about, we're driving engagement through social media. As Carl mentioned, on the web, we really are looking at the web to be that portal that educates, supplies information, and lets Mace become the thought leader within the segment of less lethal de-escalation and non-lethal products and strategies. With that, we've seen double-digit growth at Amazon and some of our online retailers. So as we continue to build out the web and build out the messaging, we're looking to shift that conversion of buying to Amazon and some of our other partners, and thus far it's been very, very successful. So we're pleased with the progress that we've made because we're getting a lot of compliments on the website and also on the education that people are deriving from the website. I won't go through all the financials because Carl did, but we can answer any questions as we go through the presentation. I will kind of cut it short here, but just to say the quarter on a sales-wise, you could say, wasn't exactly what we wanted it to be. The loss was limited to about the same as last year, but on a full-year trend basis, we're in very good position. We're seeing an increase in sales. We've decreased the loss. We continue to cut costs where appropriate. We continue to invest as we've done with PR, marketing, advertising, and IR now with Falls, and we continue to strive towards that profitability in the near term. At the same time, we are working on some other opportunities that we think will be transformational for the company, and a couple of those we're hoping to announce in the fourth quarter, which I think will also be a huge, huge win for the company. So with that, I'll turn it over to questions and comments. So Maria, if whoever's in the queue, we can take their questions and comments.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, press star then the number one on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the roster. Your first question comes from the line of Thurman Willis.
John, team, happy Thanksgiving to you. Thank you for taking my question. And my questions concern liquidity and visibility. We have these 911 tactical night beam, all new products announced about 6 months ago, and of course we didn't see any sales in Q3 from those products. Can you tell us very specifically per product where we are and when we could see increased sales in those areas, please?
Okay, so with regard to night beams, Thurman, we did experience some sales in the segment. So the vest that we sold both on a corporate level to law enforcement and also to Quicken Loans Arena were night beams products. Second Soul, for example, which is a running sporting goods chain, has picked up the product in their stores, and I can send that out. So on night beams, a slow start, you know, let's call it, you know, a couple $1,000 worth of sales. But in the first quarter of next year, through our feeding, seeding the field, we will be in a position to have some major partnerships on the product line. And the same thing with Mace 911. Direct sales, our partner CVSL, which is a direct marketing group, has bought a couple hundred units. We have a couple opportunities out there that we're closing on filling. And realize we're doing this as a pipeline. So we only brought in about 300-400 units of Mace 911. We've sold all of those out. Our big shipment of Mace 911 products will arrive here in mid-December, and then we'll be in a position to not only promote it harder, but also we'll have some alignment. So to answer your question specifically, we'll have some bigger partners lined up in Q1 of next year, along with the inventory to support it. Because with night beams especially, we wanted to make sure that it represented what we wanted. So, for example, our dog leashes and dog collars will be 100% waterproof when we're done, not water-resistant, waterproof, because through some of our learnings and testings, we realized that would be a major benefit to our consumers. And then also test pricing to make sure that it fits into the marketplace at the right segment. Along with new products, I do want to note that the new pepper spray, as Carl mentioned, the Exquisite line, which is a polka dot polka dot purse model, has done extremely well in the distribution that it's in. For example, Meijer's, which is a great chain of stores in the Midwest, has picked it up. AutoZone, for example, this past quarter has picked up our black polka dotted unit and is in full distribution with promotions behind it. So not only on our new products, Mace 911, Night Beams, but also with our Exquisite line, and we have one or two new pepper products that we will be launching in the first quarter of next year, too, that we've worked on this year.
So I take it we could see some marginal growth in Q4, but the major growth in Q1.
We will. Right now, God willing, we're seeing very, very nice growth in October and November. And we anticipate that to continue and flow over into Q1. And Q1 for us is a major, major month because almost every major trade show we participate in happens to fall in that quarter, from the Housewares show to the SHOT show to the CES show to some regional police officer training shows. Those are all in that Q1 period. So we expect our goal is to pick up the pace of these sales. They've been nice, incremental, and now we'd like them to be meaningful and larger.
In this environment, I don't know that you spoke about tactical. You did say that some of it had been approved. Do we still have some hang-ups on some of our tactical?
Correct. We have, so on our defense spray side and some of our less lethal products, we're in a position to ship those. With some of our larger ones, which includes our CS, our flash, our tear gas grenades, we still have a little bit of work to do in order to be in the position we need to be in with the ATF. kind of just expanding upon that, the ATF, you know, and it's their right and they're doing what they think is best for everybody, changed the rules of storage. And so consequently, we have been, as they've changed them, we have been changing to make sure we match them. And now we feel we're very close in what needs to happen. We've moved the earth, as we like to call it, and we've created the bunkers in which they foresee as the need. Now there's a couple other steps we have to finish, and then we'll be in a position. But to the point, we are talking to everybody. We had a great International Association of Chief of Police show. We have a lot of positive response. We feel we can make a difference in that segment. We just have a little more internal work to do in order to be where we need to be.
My last question pertains to liquidity. This is an area that I have hammered on and hammered on and hammered on. And of course, the folks that I talk to in this environment just cannot understand why Mace basically has no volume, no fans in the stands. We hired a PR firm 5 weeks ago. I haven't seen anything that they've done to increase liquidity. A follow-up to that would be I haven't seen directors buying any stock. I would like to know when the window opens for directors, and it is the policy of the company that directors buy stock. So specifically, and very specifically, can you talk to me about liquidity? Because people are tired of seeing this stock trade at 38 cents with all the accomplishments that have been made. And, you know, where we go back a year or two, we're trading at the same level. It's not the same company. So I just specifically need to know what's going to be done to increase liquidity.
Sure. Carl can answer. I believe it's 3 days after earnings release.
Well, the window opens for officers and insiders on the 26th of November, and then it stays open for 45 days, which I believe takes us in and around to January 8th or 9th. So window opens on the 26th.
So in other words, directors could buy on the 26th or insiders could buy on the 26th. John, can you tell me, I think there's two or three board members that don't own stock. Where are we on that? And do we have any procedures that directors are following for owning stock to be on the board?
Right. And I think that's an ongoing conversation amongst the board. The chairman of the board has brought to the attention of all board members. And so I'll kind of leave that at that. But we're in agreement with you that all board members and insiders should participate. I know all senior management owns stock, and most of the board members do. And I think we're working on a plan to do that. Part of your greater question, Thurman, I think, and it's a good one, is that one of the big reasons we engaged Ball's Communication is not only their PR savvy, but their IR savvy. Keith Mabee and Rob Berwick both have excellent experience in corporate communications. They've been very helpful in coaching and educating. And the process that we're on right now is really, they're doing a deep dive into Mace, looking at everything, making sure that they understand everything we do. Then we are doing messaging sessions with them over the next couple of weeks, and then we're looking at the conferences that are right for us to go to make sure we get that message out. To your greater point on liquidity is once, as you like to say, Thurman, is once we get more fans in the stands, they'll realize this is a great game, and they'll realize why it's a sound investment, especially with where the company was, to where the company is going, and where the company ultimately will end up, that it'll be a very positive experience. And with that, we're taking those right steps because Falls has been very engaged in everything we're doing because there's a couple initiatives that we're not at liberty to talk about today that we're working very diligently on that we think will have a great effect on the company in the future. But at the same time, working on that external communication to get this message out to say, look at what we do, look at how we do it, look at how we've transformed the company, I think is a great message. And that is something that we're keenly aware of and I think you've brought up several times and we are addressing.
Thank you for taking my questions. I'll get back in the queue, but I would encourage, because I think the strongest message that can be sent to your investor base is for directors, management, CFO, CEO, et cetera, to buy stock and lift this overhang over 40% and show us with action and not words that they believe that this is an undervalued company and is going forward. Thank you for taking my question.
Sure. Okay, Maria, if there's anybody else in the queue. Hello, Maria.
Your next question comes from the line of Ken Fell of Fell Capital Management.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. Really appreciate these conference calls, as they're a great source of information. My first question has to do with slide 7 and the Court Select Security JV. You gave us a lot of color on the on Court, John. I really appreciate that. Am I right in saying that there's no upfront financial considerations for Mace regarding this JV?
Correct.
Great.
We
great.
Part of it, kind of expand upon that, is that the way they want to go to market with door knocking, calling, and whatnot, they're making a huge upfront commitment on their side monetarily. And since we were looking at this as an opportunity, but not a core business strategy for the company, that we thought not requiring them to give us an upfront fee, but also in the contract they're required to spend some money to get this rolling, it was kind of a win-win, because it allowed them to invest into the product line, and then it allowed us to quite honestly, we're hopeful that there'll be thousands of homes that have a Mace sign in front of their home that'll then they'll say, hey, I'll buy some other Mace products. So it really, I think it could be win-win. And they're also having the other side of the business, which is the monitoring side, I think was key, because their end-to-end security on a home security system product line.
Great, that's good color. Appreciate that. In the Q3 release, you talked about the Wi-Fi-based home security system that's going to have the Mace brand on it.
Correct.
Is there anything that is new about this Wi-Fi-based system? I mean, really, what sets you apart from all those other Wi-Fi-based systems out there?
Okay, so there's a couple of things. New for Mace is that this is smart technology. So basically everything within this product that is integrated into your smart device, whether it be an iPad to an iPhone to an Android phone or a tablet. Second thing is that we have a very, very unique system that is completely transferable. And what I mean by that is that this is a system that would fit into an apartment dweller, to a first home buyer, to even an elaborate home or a second home. It's on a 3M sticky, so basically the door sensors and the window sensors can be removed and taken with you when you leave. So if you're a renter in New York City, for example, or Los Angeles, you can install a home security system, not violate your contract, but then you can also take your home security system when you leave that premises and reset it up in a new premise. The other very, very unique feature on this is that our motion sensor is twofold. It's a pet immune motion sensor, which means that it has a filter in there that can filter out pets, so you don't get a lot of false alarms. The second part about it, and a lot of folks have a pet immune pet sensor, so that's not as unique, but it's a nice feature, is that it's on a ball and magnet. So basically, we're the first motion sensor monitoring system that is movable. It's still on a sticky, so the base can be stuck to the wall, but then even the motion sensor can be moved from side to side and up and down in order to capture more of the space or change the angle in which you're looking. The other part of it is that the motion sensor then can be removed from its mount, put on a table, put on a chair, or put in a different location, and it will still respond 100%. The third part about it is it makes it very easy to use, because you can take your motion sensor down and it's battery operated, you can replace the batteries remount it with little to no trouble. Most times in a home today, if you have a home security system or even in a business, these are mounted, they're hardwired into the wall, and they're non-movable. So if you made a mistake or you're not capturing the right part of the home that you want to monitor, you have to drill new holes in your wall. With our system, it's completely transferable. You can take it and take it with you. You can leave it. It's perfect. We're going after that, you know, the collegiate market, if you would, the people that are moving off campus into a home. Sometimes they're not the most well-kept or the safest areas, but they're, you know, they allow the college kids to live their life outside of a college campus, or that new home buyer or that apartment dweller. It's the perfect mobile security system at a great price, because it'll still be under $500, and then it's yours. You can take it with you, you can give it away, you can bring it to your next home, or you can put it in your second home. So for us, we looked at those key elements, which are different than some of the things you'll see on the market today. The last part of it is that it's a self-monitored system. So you don't have to, we could monitor it, you don't have to monitor it. So basically, you're going to get an alert. Let's say your son comes home and you've set the alarm and he wasn't supposed to be coming home. You're going to get an alert that the door opened or there's motion inside your home. The alarm's going to go off in the home, but you're also going to get an alert no matter where you are in the world saying that your alarm just went off. So it gives you time to react and also call the police or do whatever you need to do. But also, three other people can get that same alarm. So your next door neighbor could get an alarm if you felt comfortable telling them, hey, we're going to be out. If you see any activity in the house, they can also get that same alert. So it's kind of a unique buddy system, if you would, that allows inexpensive home security with a real true difference. And the biggest thing that stresses is that transferable, that you sell your home, you can take your security system with you. Because today, if you had a home security system that was hardwired, it stays with the home. And when you get a new house, you got to either pray they had one or you got to put one in.
Great. It sounds very good. Very versatile system. Appreciate that. Last quarter, you had mentioned a new Google corporate policy that they deemed pepper spray a weapon, and it was causing some search issues when people were looking for a mace pepper spray. Has this been satisfactorily resolved, in your opinion, John?
No, they've kind of taken a hard line with weapons and even less lethal or de-escalation products. We are working around it. You know, for an example, instead of saying pepper spray, spray pepper, and some other keyword searches in order to drive. The other thing strategically is we're looking at our website to be more educational, and we've had a lot of success driving volume to Amazon and letting, you know, because Amazon, you can still search any word you want to find any product that you want. So we see that as an opportunity. We're still disappointed in the rulings that Google has had with this approach, and we feel a change, but we're constantly talking to them about why we don't think this is advantageous for them or for us. And we liken it to a situation, like to kind of give you an example, is we liken it to a situation in Massachusetts. The great Commonwealth of Massachusetts for years made it very restrictive in order to buy pepper spray. We worked with Representative Caridi and also Governor Patrick on changing that. Governor Patrick a year ago changed the law in the great Commonwealth of Massachusetts, and now you can buy pepper spray at sporting goods stores and convenience stores and et cetera. They've had zero incidences, and actually they've had customer satisfaction raises. So now women or men, whomever, have a less lethal device that they can carry with you that makes them feel safe, whether it's against a human attack or a pet or an animal attack. So we're still working with them and working around it, if you would.
Very good. And it's not just a May-specific problem. It's all manufacturers.
Exactly.
Right?
Correct.
Great. Well, all of my other questions have been answered already. So, once again, thanks for having the call. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Ken.
You're welcome.
Your next question comes from the line of Andrew Shapiro from Lawndale Capital Management.
Hi, guys. I have several questions. I'll ask a few and then get back into the queue. A few of these are just expanding on or trying to get drilled down into some detail on what you answered on Thurman's questions on a few of your initiatives. So if we can go to Mace Tactical, can you discuss the barriers or approvals needed and the milestones that existed at the end of the quarter, and I guess today, with respect to offering the full line of the ATF products, because of the non-lethal products? It sounded as if you reported that for the quarter ended September, very few of the new product offerings have been available.
Correct.
Okay.
So if talk about milestones, to your point, at the end of the third quarter, we are in a position to manufacture. We are very close to the storage, answering the storage question that has changed slightly from the end of the quarter to today with regard to the ATF. And the easiest way to describe it is for 20 years, you were allowed to store it, let's say, at 4 feet to 6 feet apart in a magazine rack, different products. Today, that's not the case. They've tripled that storage. And so basically, in a storage area where we had cubed it out to 4, that storage area now would be 20. So now we have to go back and revisit everything because of a slight modification they made in a ruling that upon appeal, the superior in the ATF, and there's a local ATF, the national ATF, they all work together to loosely manage this process. It just is causing some delay with regard to storing of the products, how we store it, where we store it, and there's a lot of new regs within that storage. Okay. None of this we're complaining about or saying that it's arduous. It's just a change, and therefore anytime a change, it takes a little while to figure out exactly what we can and can't do with regard to that. But on the other side of it, our defense spray and some of the products we are shipping, but most of the new that we had anticipated, we're still in a delay mode.
Right. So when do you anticipate that you will satisfy the ATF requirements and that they're scheduled to come out for another final inspection?
We're hoping, we are working quickly. Our goal would be within the next 6 to 8 weeks that we have it completely resolved and we have 100% approval for storage of the products. Our milestones would be within a month that we identified, we've had it cleared within 2 months that we've had it approved, because the final step is really not, we call and they tell us when they're going to come out. So it's kind of like when you order the cable service, you know, they tell you when they're going to come out. And so consequently, we're at their whim, but we are working feverishly on several different solutions in order to make their job very easy to say, no, this is 1,000% of what we want. Similar to the EPA, we're trying to do more than asked of us in order to make ATF's job very easy.
Okay. And maybe we're spending too much time on it. I don't know. What is the addressable market that we're talking about for the products that whose rollout and satisfying tactical department needs are delayed on right now? If this is just a small market in opportunity, I don't want to waste more time asking questions about it, but I perceived this before that we're talking about millions in revenue opportunity that can come from being able to offer and sell these products.
Correct. We view the market, and there's not really specific numbers, but we view this as a multi-million dollar market, of which there's not a brand name. There's several very good competitors within the segment, but of which there's not really a brand name that an officer or a tactical division would say, yes, I recognize that. The other thing that we'd say, so it's a big market, and in multi-millions is how I would characterize it. The other thing, Andrew, that I would say is that as the world's changing, this is a fast-growing segment within that market. So as we look at all the issues that happen, and when we talk to chiefs of police, and you know, one of our board members has been very helpful, Terry Gaynor, who has an a boatload of experience in law enforcement, from being in, you know, the city of Chicago police to, you know, working with our government, that de-escalation is the buzzword amongst both tactical, military, and local law enforcement, and that's where the product line that we anticipate will play a huge benefit. And I think as hopefully with our conversations through media, we'll be able to change that to say there's a huge segment between gun and no gun, and that's where MACE and less than lethal and de-escalation products can fill that gap. So
okay.
Twofold, large market, you know, you could estimate it 100 million or 200 million, no brand name in the market, which is another aspect that we looked at when we looked at re-entering the market. And then the third thing is a growth rate that we see being very optimal for us. And then the last segment I'd say is that it's highly used in training. So consequently, there is somewhat of a high usage within a department for the products, because as we've talked to officers, if we've learned for, even from our sales force, Eric and Doug, who have a lot of experience in this segment, 90% of everything used will be for training. So then 90% of everything used would be replaced without a lot of fanfare. So then it becomes a cycle to get into it. Our delay
the training,
in starting
the
it,
training budget, not just a
delay of delivering.
It's a training budget then too. Okay, now
it's a training
a result,
budget too, and it gets you into these other segments, and then officers on the defense prey side, now you become a bigger partner for a department to say, hey, I can buy all these different products from you.
Okay. So you expect to be able to satisfy the ATF's needs, then you'll schedule the cable man to come in, basically, and they'll hopefully
right.
bless everything. Are you presently submitting then for RFPs, because these RFP processes take a long time, or when might the first RFPs be awarded? How long of a time lag is it from submission on an RFP to awarding of an RFP take place?
So it's three. Some of them are immediate fulfillment. So it's just an RFP. We need these fulfilled as soon as possible. And a lot of times those are your rubber bullets, your bean bags, and your defense sprays. Those types of situations we are looking at and bidding on as best we can. Typically, it's a 3 to 6 to 9 month process that an RFP will go out, because a supply officer will look at everything that he has in-house and what he needs to replenish, and then he will put forth a usage of funds application to his superior that typically will get approved, and then he'll put it out to 3 or 4 different companies, a lot of like Cleveland Uniform, for example, or Century, and then they'll start looking at fulfilling those. We do work with distributors that have GSA contracts, so we can bid on GSA contracts through their contract and not necessarily have to be a GSA approved by ourselves. The longer, the bigger fill orders, especially for Tier, Flash, and OC, we have to wait a little bit, because in the RFP process, if you say you can deliver it on April 1st, you have to be able to deliver it on April 1st, and we need to make sure that we can store it before we can say we can deliver it. So
okay.
We're doing some, not enough.
Okay. Now, you've gone to some trade shows here in the tactical area, but you also are beefing up and doing trade shows and night beams, and I don't know if you're doing trade shows yet for MACE Alert 911, but do you do an ROI analysis on this on the trade show expense? You know, you've gone to the SHOT Show for many, many years. We've had pretty nice displays, good locations, et cetera, and that stuff can't be cheap. And it's certainly we want you to be spending money on marketing and moving sales dollars on these products, but we've experienced and seen some flat sales experience, and so I'm just trying to understand, to know your process, if you do an ROI and say, you know, this show has not been producing for us, let's either not do it again or let's scale back and reallocate our dollars elsewhere.
Right, and we do. Every show, we do a post-show analysis, and we look at, you know, and it's threefold almost. We look at the leads generated from the show to say, was that sufficient to be in the show. We look at the publicity, if you, for lack of a better word to say, was it worth us to be in the show? And then we look at actual sales that we can generate from being in the show. And with that, we're constantly weeding out shows. Some of the bigger shows, quite honestly, like a SHOT Show, for example, is more about publicity to make sure we meet with the customers we need to meet with, we entertain the customers we need to, because the SHOT Show, somewhat of an anomaly. Everybody thinks of it as being tactical, government, law enforcement. We actually meet Dick's Sporting Goods there, Walmart. Every major retailer also visits that show because of the plethora and the different products that are presented at it. But with that, we constantly revisit, and I would say we probably have about a 20 to 25% turnover in a show that we won't redo to a show that we will do. So, for example, we've gone to grocery and drug shows in the past couple of years, GMDC, FMI. We found them to be low return on investments. It's almost better going to the bigger drug and grocery stores on our own. So we've dropped those shows, but then we've picked up like SWAT Tactical Roundup in Florida, which we'll do again this year, which is on the heels of the International Chief of Police show. The International Chief of Police show, my first 2 years we walked it, we didn't display. The past 2 years we've displayed. Next year we're going to have a little larger display because of the education, the PR, and also the potential for orders that we got from it. So when we look at a total on an annualized basis, Andrew, and this might be granular, we spend about $125,000 to $135,000 on shows, and we're constantly looking at the model to say, where should we be and where should we not be? Right. And we also look to say, can we have some exclusivity, that if we're at the show, we'd like to be the only spray company at the show, and that's to our advantage too.
Yeah, do you find trade shows are a better expenditure than other forms of advertising or public relations?
We shall see this year, because on a typical basis, and the shows we participate in, you can't get that many retailers into a room at the same time with your with a consistent message. This year we're actually looking at that blend of, can we be more efficient in our PR along with more efficient in our shows? Because to your point, I don't know the answer 100% to that today. I do know the way we've presented at our shows, we've gotten compliments on, you know, really love the brand, really love the regeneration of the brand. Some of it, you know, quite honestly, is especially at the International Chief of Police show, we got a lot of compliments on, like, huh, the brand looks so much better than it did the last time I remember it. Like, one department, and we replaced some of his products, was he remembered the old chemical mace, if you would, and it was a great opportunity for us to re-educate him. And then he sent another department over to say, hey, Joe sent us over because, you know, he thought I should check you guys out. So it's hard to say which way is better. I think ultimately it'd be a blend of both, you know, efficient show management along with PR that couples on top of it.
It seems in tactical, word of mouth and reference citing and all that is very, very important. On the consumer side, you've opened a lot of distribution channels, and I was just wondering whether or not we're getting enough consumer pull-through after you place that inventory with them, or if we're getting inventory backing up in the warehouse.
Well, we're not getting inventory backing up in the warehouse, and on the consumer side, I can tell you we're not in the doors that we need to be in. We've probably had a 20 to 25% compounded growth increase year to year since the new management team came over, which means that we're in more doors every year for the past 3 years. But we're not in all the doors we need to be in. Like, quite honestly, now our targets next year is, there's still sporting goods doors that we need to knock down. There's automotive doors that we need to knock down. There's pet and pet departments within even mass merchandisers that we need to knock down. There's running. There's also specific biking and other shops that we should be in. And consequently, some of generically we call it the consumer or the houseware shows. Those are those opportunities to get that brand out in front of us. And there's still education that needs to happen. Oh, I don't know if I want to carry mace, we're constantly saying, do a test. We guarantee you do a test at one store, you'll give us 10 stores, then you'll give us the whole chain. And so I don't see that as an issue, the inventory backing up, and I still see a lot of opportunity for growth, especially with Night Beams, Mace 911, Mace Wi-Fi Alert, and our traditional pepper sprays as we launch some new pepper into 2016 too. I think it's another opportunity to re-engage some of those customers. Then on top of that, just the last point I'd make is within every mass merchandise store, there's several departments that we've also targeted. We fit nicely in the front end. We fit nicely in automotive. We fit nicely in sporting goods. We fit nicely in fitness. We fit nicely in men's and women's running clothing. So within a store, like take your typical Walmart, which will have 70-some departments, we could potentially fit into 12 or 15 of those different departments, which also means calling on 12 or 15 different buyers within a segment. So at a trade show, potentially, you can see all of those buyers, and then there's a lot of follow-up to do, but you can also get that message out. On a tactical side, to your point, when we talk to Chief of the Police, he's like, well, I'm not reading press releases. I'm talking to Joe, and if Joe says, hey, I like these guys, they did a good job, because on the tactical side, it's do what you say what you do. If your product says it does this, it better damn well do it, because the officers are unforgiving. So that's why we test and we make sure that anything we tell them it's going to do, it does, because that's where you're going to win. Not saying I'm in this department, that department, because most of the times those officers don't care. It's actually being at a show and then that other chief of police saying to another chief of police, go check out Mace, I like those guys. That's where those shows are very important. That's why in the 15 and the 16 budget, you'll see a lot of regional tactical shows to make sure we're out in front and they know we're back in this area and we're backing up what we say.
Okay. I have other questions, especially on Night Beams and other things. Let me back out because your answers were nice and full on the tactical, but I've sure. Hogged the line. So come back to me, please.
Thanks, Andrew.
Your next question comes from the line of Thurman Willis.
John, management has done everything necessary in rebuilding this company to have the stock price trade much higher than it's trading. I know that we had about three PR firms that we've dealt with in the past that didn't work out. What is false communication telling you guys as far as exposure, as we often say, to get fans in the stands and to get you recognized? What made the board choose Ball Communications, and how long do they think that it's going to take to expose you to the investment community?
Okay. One of the big reasons we chose Falls is that they're a unique organization in the fact that they're an IR and a PR firm. As I had mentioned before, with Robert Falls being the chief, strong on the PR, promoting, story building, product placement side. With Rob and Keith, you have two, Keith is in the Hall of Fame, the Investors Hall of Fame. I'm building an IR story. So what their goal is with us is we've identified some products that they think should be our champions heading into 2016 to make sure that we get that story straight. B, getting the entire corporate story to say, this is what we've done, this is where we're going, this is who we are, to get that story. Then within the next, it's hard to put a time frame on it, but my goal would be in the next 3 months to surpass some hurdles that we have this story, we're consistently telling the story, we're telling the story to more people. Then within a six-month process that we're going to the bigger investor conferences, and this story is so great that people want to read it, they want to hear it, and then we also have the backup materials that folks are looking for, so quarter-on-quarter growth, continue to cut your losses, potentially hitting a break-even or even making money, then also looking strategically at acquisitions and other potential companies that fit within this safety and security umbrella that we're building. And I think that's why we chose them. It was both the ability to tell a story at a consumer level and the ability to tell a story at an IR level or investor level that was very consistent. And then being, you know, being a genuine company. Like we stress our products, 90% of our products are made here. They're tested here. They're shipped out of here. We're a Midwest company with Midwest values that constantly are striving to do things better than our competitors. But also at the end of the day, we test spray every unit before it leaves because we want to make sure that when you need it, it works. So I think to your point, it's gonna take some time, but I think we're really at the beginning of this process, and really the first week of December, we're doing quite a bit of messaging, training, and education to make sure that the story is there, and then also then the next step will be getting that story out to more folks.
Well, as I said before, I think a lot of time has passed and a lot of accomplishments have been made, and our stock, which is our report card, still lags. And in this environment, I just hope that Falls agrees that you're underpriced. And I think we're such a small company, it doesn't take long to have a turnaround and get the news out there. So, you know, I guess I respectfully disagree that our story needs to be gotten out there and gotten out there tomorrow. I just finished up on a McGall conference call. Their stocks moved from 3 to about 5.15. As you know, they're a security company that provides wall defenses and protection for many companies. They have started their RoboGuard. That RoboGuard will be using pepper spray. And if you haven't contacted them recently relative to using your pepper spray, I think the timing is right because they're now selling that product. And then lastly, I want the board members, I want management, you know, we don't like the stock selling where it was. The best way to send a signal is for insiders and board members to buy this stock if they think it's undervalued. Otherwise, they're saying to us, it is not undervalued, it is fairly priced, and we're just missing something. So if they can't buy, it's going to disappoint us greatly, and I mean buy like in a very few days. So I wish you would express that to the board, to management, and I've harped on it and harped on it. And again, I know the things that I think you said that we have to do, but we have to start with insiders buying stock because there's only one reason an insider buys stock, and that's because he thinks it's undervalued, and that I think can help Falls Communications get the story out there. And 1 month, 2 months, 3 months is too long. It's time that it be done now because we're selling at the same price we did 2 years ago, and that's absolutely insanity. So somebody's got to step up to the plate and take responsibility so that your report card can show the accomplishments and all the accomplishments that I agree that you've made. Otherwise, we just keep pushing the ball down the hill, down the hill. We kick the can to the next quarter, the next quarter, the next quarter. We do all these things, and we get no publicity. We get no consistent release. I think it's been 90 days since anything informative has been released from the company relative to how things are going. You need to get out more press releases. I know they cost, but you need to keep the investors updated to increase your market value. And as you increase your market value, buying will promote buying, and this stock will go up. And you've done the things that it ought to go up. Now, investors are ready to see it go up. Okay?
Thanks. Thurman, a couple points. So one of the things I want to stress is Robert Falls, who's the head of Falls Communication, has committed to buy stock. When we met with him, he said, not only do I want a contract with you, but when the window opens, he's planning on buying some stock. So I think that's a strong indication of his feeling of success. Secondly, Miguel, I will reach back out to their VP of marketing because he had said they weren't quite ready on the drone project and the robo project. So I've already emailed him as you were speaking, so I'll keep you posted on that. But thanks, and I'll make sure, and I believe some of the board members are on the conference call that I'm sure they've heard your comments and we'll take them to heart.
Thank you. And McGall is now selling the robo system, as they just mentioned on their conference call at 10 o'clock. So I would tell you that it's no longer in the production process. It is in the implementation process. And I'm glad to hear board members are on the call. And I think there is a number of shares you have to be on that board. And if the board members can't buy stock, they need to get off the board. Plain, simple, end of discussion.
Thank you, sir. Okay, Maria, a couple more minutes of questions, and then...
At this time, again, if you would like to ask a question, press star and the number one on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of Andrew Shapiro.
Hi, I'll ask some more questions because I'd rather get answers rather than soapbox about the stock price. It'll do what it does when you guys start delivering and executing, but I'd like to know about the delivery and execution. So, regarding night beams, you had introduced it in the June quarter, didn't have a full quarter. You've introduced it. You've had a full quarter with it here this September, and I think you've responded before that we do have night beam sales during this quarter. Obviously, year over year, it's up from zero. Did you quantify, or because it's not clear where night beams is in your various channels that you've shown where sales are up or sales are flat? In general, what is night beams sold? Because I think the addressable market for night beams could grow to be something far larger than Pepper. So I'm trying to get a handle on where we're at and what we're likely to ramp with Q4 and next year.
Andrew, this is Carl. So for the quarter, sales in night beams was approximately $13,000, and that would be a mixture between the consumer and online sales.
Along with some tactical sales. So like if you look at the corporate, you know, the vest that went to the different departments, there's some more vests on order for different departments. So to your point, Andrew, it spreads across a lot of segments.
Right, but it's only $13,000 in the September quarter, so basically nothing for the September quarter, yet you've had flat revenues, so when this kicks in, this is going to be another revenue driver above and beyond tactical, which you've also admitted has not really been able to do the full line of non-lethal.
Correct. Okay. Oh, no, we anticipate in next year's budget and even the closing this year that both of these will kick in. Night beams more because we're looking at planogramming it into several bigger customers. We're going to see online Amazon sales, some small strategic opportunities, but the bigger opportunities will be the first quarter of next year. A little bit of delay there was... I'd call it design innovation. So basically, we went from the clunky battery pack that was presented to us, and almost everything we're trying to do now will be a USB-enabled rechargeable battery, especially on the vest that the new vest coming in and some of the other products. And then, as we mentioned on the dog collars and dog leashes, making sure they're 100% waterproof.
Are you planning on making those kind of consumer dog leash, dog collars, USB-enabled rechargeables, or just the vests?
No, not to start. Most of it, we're looking at some of the armbands and especially the vests being
okay.
USB-enabled. Because the beauty now with the dog collars are it's a simple battery. In the vest, it kind of added a couple pounds to the vest weight. And so when you go USB, it's a lot easier. And then with the growth of USB in the United States, in the world, it's so easy to charge. You can almost charge it from anywhere then.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a great idea. Does it materially raise the cost of the units?
Not materially.
Great. With the new website up for a full 3 months, did web sales yet surpass last year's?
No.
Okay.
But part of it strategically, as we had mentioned when Ken had asked about the Google issue, if if I pulled up the Amazon sales, our Amazon sales, especially on defense prices, more than double from a year ago. So for us, it's a win-win. We'd like to get our pepper spray sales up on our website. We're doing some interesting things. We as Carl mentioned, we have a couple Black Friday events. We have a couple Cyber Monday events. But more and more, when you price shop it, you're getting educated by me now or Mace website, but you're buying on Amazon, which is a win-win. And we're seeing, even beyond the third quarter, strong Amazon sales and strong Amazon activity.
Well, it's a win-win, but you probably get better margin if you sold it on your site, but and you're spending the money to do the educating. But at the end of the day, if you're still if we're still making 30 some odd percent margin or high 30s, that's a good day if you can start growing your revenues, which we are very eager still to see. Did your sporting goods store sales perform okay here in the third quarter? But my query is, where did the sales kick in here in the third quarter versus your expectations?
So it kind of it's twofold. The bigger box was a little bit of a disappointment, so there was a slowdown in your larger scale sporting goods stores that we dominate. The beauty for us is that the secondary level, the regionals players, we've had some nice upticks. So a Big Five out west, which is a big regional player on your side of the country, Andrew. Cabela's has done very well. And then we have Turner's and some smaller chains that perform very well. So overall, like even I look at my November estimate, sales through November estimate, we're looking at double-digit increases in sporting goods and double-digit increases in our consumer side of our business. You know, if you took just those two channels, you'd be looking at $1 million increase versus a year ago on shipments out the door to that segment of the market.
Okay. Now, you said you got 6 new sporting goods accounts in the quarter. Any of these noteworthy?
Turner's is a noteworthy account that we've done very well. And Big Five is the biggest one in the quarter, which we anticipate some healthy growth because that's a great, it's a well-run organization and it's a great chain.
Where are they, where's their geography?
Colorado and west, all the way up to Cali.
Okay. Consumer side again is the Mace Alert 911. What level of Mace Alert 911 sales were during the quarter? Very little, right?
Very little, a couple hundred units.
Okay, that's not a lot. So has there been success with CVSL and their rollout of the product, and are they doing reordering yet?
They are not doing reordering, but I did speak with them, and they've been mildly successful. Some of theirs, they said there were some challenges in the queue that they hadn't anticipated, and so they're looking at the fourth quarter of driving a little bit. Strategically for us, as I mentioned earlier, the bulk of the inventory we ordered because of some packaging and some other ancillary things that we wanted done, we're not really actually receiving the inventory till later in the year this year.
Okay. You mentioned on prior calls new ideas with respect to creative, lighter, easier to use packaging for pepper products. Has that been implemented, and what's been the reception?
Okay, so it has not been implemented. We're in the process of doing it right now. We've gone through testing phases and consumer reaction phases, all of which have been very, very positive. Our goal today would be on or about 2-1 shipments out to our customers with really revolutionary packaging, in our opinion, and a really nice change in the brand style.
Okay. The Court Select Security joint venture, because of the names, are all interchangeable. So I want to get some clarification. So a year ago, or a little more now, you sold the wholesale alarm monitoring business to an entity called Security Partners. We have a receivable from them. That's a different entity than Court Select Security. Is that right?
Different entity, but the same owners.
Oh, Okay, so that's why this exclusivity thing is allowed, because you mentioned
yeah.
how this deal is exclusive. How does that all interact with respect to security partners and then Select Security? Is security partners the back-end monitor for Select Security?
Correct.
Okay. Now, can you you summarize then, we don't put any money up front. They're going to spend money putting the Mace brand name and label on all their little signs and everything else they're doing. When and how are they buying product from us, if anything?
Well, they're not buying from us. So that was part of the kind of the negotiations is that we will help them source it, but they'll inventory, ship it, they'll do all the logistics side of it. We looked at every way to sign the deal. We came back with this being the best way to do it. Kind of to amplify a little bit more, Court, Select Security are actually the security dealers in which they operate and they sell products today. Security monitors, you know, monitors over 700 different security dealers outside of Select and Court. Court
yep.
will be doing all the marketing, distribution, and sales for this. What they did is they did a test within their account and said that the Select, so they sell a product under Select brand name today. They sell products under Court, marginally successful. When they tested Mace branded, it was much more successful, which means there was a higher level of conversion that they feel that they would achieve. When
so
we
they're
going to
dump, they're gonna dump
go
the
ahead.
Court Select Security name and use the Mace name then?
Not necessarily. What we will be is the premium product, right? So we'll say, hey, I can give you this package at this price, or I can give you this package at this price, and you get the Mace brand name. Plus, it opens up the door that then that same consumer can go to mace.com or buy directly through Select Security Mace branded products at a discount that otherwise they wouldn't be able to do. But it, what it does is it creates a national brand around the local company.
So it's going to be, there's going to be like a microsite or a password where if you're a Court Select Security customer, you're getting a discount at all of our Mace products.
Correct. There'll be almost a microsite. But then
okay.
a go-to-market strategy will be very similar to an ADT. They will be investing a lot of time and money into people calling and people knocking on doors selling home security solutions under the Mace brand name, which they feel kind of is an icebreaker for them. They say, well, I don't know who Select is. Oh, well, I do know who Mace is. All right, now you got 5 more minutes of my time. Make me interested.
Okay, and then where and how do we get actual revenue?
We are paid a royalty on the entire we're going to get a royalty on the entire sale. So not only the product sale, but also on the RMR.
Okay, so why do you feel it's 18 months before we see our first check? It's going to take them that long?
I
want to
be conservative because this process, like products that are sold on an infomercial, you're a lot of times cash upside down till you start recognizing revenues. So consequently, we might see some small revenues, but like I think it's really going to be 18 months when they have substantial revenues. Their revenue model that they've shared with us, I think, is somewhat aggressive, but it also looks at that 18-month window to say, hey, these are truly recognizable revenues.
Okay. And then is there a size or a range of the type of business these guys do? So one might make an estimate of what kind of 100% margin cash flow we might see in 2 years?
Well, they've shared that with us, and they have 3 different models from, you know, your homeowner model to your corporate account to a kind of combination in between that. So we do have that information. I just don't think we can share that at this point.
Okay, fine. If you're not comfortable, that's fine. Now, last quarter, and it looks like it's still there this quarter, is we got a ton of surveillance inventory. You talked about the idea of bringing in partners or some other way of moving this out. It's a rapidly changing, very low margin suck up of our company's capital. I'm not sure the return on capital is worth it, but I was wondering if you have any update as to the company's plans of reducing our inventory, enhancing our return on capital in that segment.
Right. Well, as Carl indicated in his presentation, it's only about 25% of the total inventory dollars are tied up in surveillance. A lot of it is a buildup in some of our other inventories. From the end of that queue to today, we have reduced the inventory about $207,000. But to your point, we are still a work in progress with our new go-to-market strategy with surveillance. We have some more fine-tuning to do in order to fix that or create a better solution for that product line.
Okay, only a few more questions. Last year, this time about, you spoke at the company's first investment conference, the Midwest Investment Conference, local one in Cleveland, had an investor day at the new headquarters and manufacturing facility that I enjoyed attending. I'm just wondering, if you have no specific plans as of yet, why is it not time yet to tell the story, somewhat to Thurman's point? And it was 2 years ago, it seems, when our company's largest shareholder and their chairman, Richard Barone, wrote, I thought, a very good letter saying it's time, but then there really hasn't been follow-up about that. And I'm wondering if the stagnation in our stock price for multiple years is not a function of some of that, staying in the bunker.
Okay, and I think the board and the management's in agreement that we would like to be out there at the right investor conference telling a story. I think a couple things that, as I had mentioned, at Thurman, with Valve versus anybody else we've had in the past, they are doing a deep dive into the company and saying, like, here's the root, here's what we think the messaging should be, and then crafting that message so it's very, very consistent, one. Two, I think, as you had mentioned, with some of the changes in the marketplace, especially like if you look at the building security, the surveillance segment changing dramatically, you know, this past year, that was a change with the company. Three, we expected to have the tactical up quicker than it has been, a lot with the ATF and the storage and the changes. So that was a little bit of work that the company had to do. But to that point, we are hitting the point where, you know, we are dominating at, you know, like if you backed out building security from our sales, we're dominating a lot of segments that we want to dominate in and which were our goals. Sporting goods, consumer, you know, we're seeing some growth even in when I pull forward the November sales, even in tactical and a couple of the other areas. So I think one of the things that the board said is continue to get growth and get profitable growth. B, I think this honing this story and telling this story and then making sure that everybody's on board with the story, I think is very critical that follows us, that every successful company they've helped grow has been because down at the roots they made sure everything was healthy and everything was what it's supposed to be. And then the last thing is I will tell you that they are here, falls again next, the week after next, and finalizing this messaging, and then we're looking at the right conferences to attend because, as I mentioned earlier, we can't disclose today, but there's several other initiatives that we're working very feverishly on to finalize in this calendar year that I think will help that message even more. So
well,
kind
yeah,
of a little
that,
bit of...
That's great. I guess some of it is, you know, this is a small company. And typically,
correct,
small companies are entrepreneurial and fast on their feet and not as slow as an aircraft carrier trying to do a 180 in the ocean. So I'm just trying to put a little bit of one's feet to the fire here that it's time. And there is going to always be the ATF, or there's always going to be something out there, but there are other things where there's not a barrier. And, you know, you say, well, if we back out building and surveillance or building security, well, let's not back it out. If we have to back it out constantly to show the growth, then maybe we need to get rid of it.
Correct.
Okay.
And I think we're saying the same thing, Andrew, and I appreciate your candor that, you know, in your mind, you know, it's time to do all that and also do the investor side. And I can definitely make sure that when the chairman and I meet again next week that we discuss it. And I feel comfortable that Falls has put us in a position that we can represent the company and current investors and new investors wholeheartedly.
Right.
But I understand your message.
Now, the company's going to get some cash here at the end of the year, I'm assuming. Logical theory has it that when you have a warrant or an option and it's in the money, you tend to exercise it. Ancora and the Barone clan there have a ton of warrants from their bailout financing they provided 4 or 5 years ago. Those warrants are expiring here at the end of the year and then also again in March. So I'm hopeful that in addition to the exercise of the warrants, which are already in the money, that when one asks for incremental financial commitments and purchases and putting one's money where their mouth is, that hopefully we'll have everyone else jump on board, and we then put that cash to good accretive use.
Duly noted.
Thank you. No more questions.
Okay. Thank you, Andrew. So I think, Maria, I think that might be everything, unless you want to do one last round. And I'll
there are no
up.
Further questions at this time, sir. Do you have any closing remarks?
Okay. Well, I just want to thank everybody for participating. We always appreciate your candor and your honesty in these efforts. In the third quarter, we achieved a lot. We think there's a lot more that we can achieve, and we're looking for some exciting announcements coming up within the next couple months, and especially successful launches of a lot of the things we discussed today. So I do thank you, and any questions that we didn't answer, we will make sure that we follow up on again. But thanks, and happy Thanksgiving, everybody. That's it, Maria.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.